On this episode, we're sticking the fork in it because it's done. And we're not just talking about the eclipse, but we're also talking about somebody's book. Finally. All that and more coming up. This is the iPhonography Podcast, episode 116, recorded Monday, April 8th, Eclipse Day. And I'm here with my good buddy, Dave Podner. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Doing good. Great. Where are you exactly? I can't see anything.
Yeah, I know. It was quite a day for a lot of people, and because the viewing of the eclipse is only a narrow band across the continent. So you were at work at the time. I was off, but I went to a remote location around here to try to get some pictures of a waterfall. And I wanted it to be darker than it was, but we'll get into that. But all I want to know is, like, based on the stuff you sent me, what the hell are you sitting there for? And why isn't Ruth sitting there?
You know what? I asked myself that an awful lot because, as I said, she's the one with the artistic eye in the family.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, a lot of times that we have like when we did wedding photos for our niece and another family friend, Ruth was kind of the technical director, the artistic director, telling me, stand here, take this shot, move here, take this shot here. Okay, you two moved. So she's the artistic, you know, she's the one who paints. She's the one who took the anatomy class to get how to, you know, draw and everything. Not me.
But, you know, to that point, though, you do have a really artistic flair with your editing and stuff like that. So, you know, it's not, it's not a total wash for you anyway. I mean, you do some crazy edits that I would never even dream of doing. But anyway, so today was the total eclipse. And the, like I said earlier, the path of totality went up through the continent, and neither you nor myself were right there to get 100% totality. I think we were pretty close to the same, like 95 to 97%. And I couldn't believe how much light there was even at that, you know, when it was mostly covered. I didn't get any shots of the eclipse itself because, like I said, I was trying to get a waterfall, which I got a picture of waterfall at its darkest point. And that picture will be in our recent photos, so I won't go over that one too much. But Ruth took some pictures, and I'm going to put those up on the screen here because I think it's pretty impressive what she's done.
Oh, most definitely, yeah. Now, let me set the stage in terms of how she took the pictures.
All right.
She had these, and for those on audio, these were just the, I don't want to say cheap, because you want to make sure it does say ISO 12312-2015 glasses. But these are not, like, you know, they're just the type you would get like at a grocery store or, you know, convenience store, gas station, some places. It just so happens one local, I think these were originally produced for the eclipse last year because it had both dates on them. But there's like bald eagle, American flag, America, America lenses. So she just held this in front of her iPhone with her hand and just took photos. And these were live photos.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, no massive setup, no anything else going on per se.
Yeah.
And very on most of these, very little editing. So this one I loved because it was just a little cloudy. You can see just the bare crescent of the sun. Right there in the middle. But the way the clouds are around it, you know, and she has pictures which are just like black sky, you know, trying to get the light just right. And just seeing the little crescent, those are good. But having other things in the picture kind of add to how dynamic it all looks. And this one, and very little editing. Some of the shots had that stereotypical reddish orange tinge to it you get with mm-hmm. with the this just came out looking like normal without the tinge.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether the iPhone did its magic behind the scenes, imagine. But no, this one just turned out amazing. And it, like I said, just how sharp that sliver of a slither of a crescent is.
Yeah, that's crazy. So was this, did she zoom out to 25 times on this?
No.
Or is it cropped?
I want to say, I don't know. I honestly, she doesn't use the digital zoom that often. So it may be either cropped or this is maybe the 5X.
Oh, I'm thinking it was definitely the 5X. Yeah. I just wondered if it was because even the 5X, I don't know if the 5X would get it that big in the frame, you know.
It would get close, but a couple of these shots I cropped. Doing a little editing and cropping that way.
Okay.
But I think this one, you know what? Let me double check here. Hold on. Let me do edit. Honestly, it may be digital zoom because I'm just double checking here and there is no edit on this photo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And really crop. The only crop she did was kind of go, make it square instead of a 4x6.
Right.
But that's it. So there's no, unless she did it at 25. When she took it, which I'm not sure, she was outside of her work. I was outside my work. So we weren't together, so this just came as is. And let's see here. Yeah. It says 120 millimeter F2.8. So, and then, 226 millimeter down below. So I'm not great with reading the.
Yeah, I think the 226 means that she did have it zoomed a bit because otherwise it would probably just say 120.
120, okay. It may be like 10x. So since it's double the focal length, since it's double the length of the 5x, so maybe a 10x.
Yep, could be.
Yeah, I think most of hers were like that.
Yeah. So then the second one, it's got some color to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is another one where you can just see it. I just like the way it was centered on top and it was just poking through the clouds.
Yeah.
So we weren't cloud packed, but we had enough clouds where it could just cover up here and there. But it was just enough to add, a nice touch to it. Again, the crazy thing is, if you look at the photo, and if you're on a enhanced podcast, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm bringing this up. You can look at your phone long as you're not driving or biking. Yeah,
well, it shows up on CarPlay too.
Well, yeah, true. But still, look at the road. But I just like the way this very sliver of the sun still showing.
Yeah.
At as max as we got. And the most we got was it felt the air felt chilly.
Yeah. The temperature did go down a little bit.
It went down, but it didn't exceptionally drop.
Yeah, you know,
it was a bit warm today here. So it was enough where it was like, oh, there's a little brisk in the air, but it wasn't like you're cold all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's another one that just turned out so good right there. And just kind of the sun giving light to the cloud around it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat how it turned out.
This
is really cool.
Yeah. This is one where it was more of a working on it. So you blacked everything out, but the sun, this had that orangey tinge to it, but it kind of blew my mind where this, you can tell this is a little bit more sun shown here. So this isn't fully max, but just how crisp the sun and moon is on this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's not a lot of bleed over. There's a little bit, but not a lot of bleed over on this one.
Yeah.
Now, I think this one was a crop because, let me just check here. Yeah, this one was a manual crop in.
Okay.
Because this was showing 120 when I look at the zoom on the photo. So this was, you know, taken off and then afterwards cropped in, because otherwise you're right, it would be very small. But, you know, even zooming manually cropping like this, it's still turned. And like all these are Hife. Mm-hmm. These are not raw.
Right.
Again, Ruth did all the editing and she doesn't do raw. She doesn't do Lightroom Mobile that much.
Yeah.
So this is if it's edited at all, it's all in the Photos app.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. And this last one of hers, I loved it because if you're a Lord of the Ring fan, it's the Eye of Mordor.
Oh, really?
Well, if you remember from if you ever watched the movies, right, they had the flaming eye.
Yeah, and I think I watched the first two, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it would be like near the end of the second one, I think, where you could see the eye.
Oh,
but okay. It just the way the redness is. And now she did do editing on this to kind of bring out the color, bring out the red.
Yeah.
But how there's a little bit more of the sun shown, but it's just kind of red and it looks like everything's on fire in the middle there. And the clouds are just encircling it. So, and it's almost like there's an eyeball opening up.
Yeah. Yeah, really.
You know, and the monster's kind of getting ready to look and see what's happening. So I just like the artistic look of this one.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know which one's the best. I thought maybe the last one might have been, but now I'm thinking this one might be.
It depends, because I would say you're looking more for the artistic look or more for like the technical clear look.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this one's got a little bit of both, really, because it's got that artistic flair to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still kind of crisp, you know, the sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, this one. Yeah, that one's from me. And okay. I saw someone, and I forget where it was and who it was, and I do apologize if you're listening, but they mentioned the lens flare caught the eclipse. So I took a picture without any lens filters or anything and got the sun in there, but made sure I got the lens flare. Oh, yeah. And then I cropped it to crop out the sun. So I still got, you know, you can see the contrail from a plane kind of going on the upper part, going left to right, and the clouds.
Yeah.
And I did rotate it a little bit, but the bluish kind of lens flare that we all, honestly, we hate.
Yeah, that's small.
It's a pain in the butt.
Small lens mm-hmm. lens flare that's on the opposite side of the frame.
Exactly. But yeah, in this case, I used it because that lens flare is exactly what the eclipse looked like at the time.
Yeah.
Because it was just a thin sliver. And I like the lens flare is, and I don't think it's showing up well on YouTube. It's actually blue.
Yeah.
Just a bluish green, like a normal lens flare.
Mm-hmm.
But it almost looks a little, you know, it's kind of like the bluish green look to it. And I like the fact that taking it without the heavy filter, and hopefully I didn't do any damage to the camera. I don't think I did. I only got a 3x zoom. So
I people were asking me about taking, you know, pictures of the eclipse with their phone. And I never thought it was a good idea, but you know, Halide come out with an article about it and other people saying that, you know, it's not going to ruin your camera.
Yeah. I think if you were someone with a traditional camera with like a 600 millimeter lens, having that much concentrated and focused and that much of a zoom could cause an issue, but not on an iPhone.
But everywhere, Like I think
it's a no issue.
They were recommending that you put like a 20 stop ND filter on.
Okay.
And I have a 16 stop filter that I used for some of the pictures, one of them that you're going to see in our recent photos. I never had any intention whatsoever of actually taking a picture of the sun because it was clouded over. Well, when we went to this waterfall, my wife, she was walking the dog around, you know, the property and that. And then just as we're getting ready to leave, she sends me a picture from her 12 iPhone 12 non-pro iPhone that she zoomed in, I guess, all the way. And she got the darn thing, you know, kind of similar to what you have on the screen here, except a little more blurrier and everything else, because right. It was, you know, just a wide angle blown right up to, or zoomed right in digitally. But the clouds were starting to fade and the sky was opening up, and be darned if the darn sky just didn't clear right off after it was all over. Like, it was clear in the morning. Or no, let's see. It was clear last night, yesterday, and then it clouded over through the night. And then after the eclipse was done, then it cleared back out again. So it was, yeah, it was kind of annoying in that respect. But you know, kudos to Ruth for getting those shots.
Yeah, most definitely.
You know, they're going to be on the screen as we were talking about them, and they'll be on the website. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she should have been here talking about it. I think she's still on her own live, isn't she? Or she just finished?
Just finishing up. Yeah. So, of course, after being live on her own show for almost 2 hours.
Oh, yeah. She's not going to want to talk anymore.
And then she has just clean up. I don't want to say clean up, but straighten.
She's got some stuff to put away.
Put away. And then, you know, write stuff down and make sure the books are, you know, I don't want to say the books are in order because it makes it sound like you got to make sure the books are in order, but you know, just making sure everything's tallied and this person got this and this goes here and this goes here, just organizing so she can do it now while it's fresh in her mind too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's good that she got those shots and it's good that you had a chance to, and tell the folks what you had at work for snacks. Yeah. And I thought that was funny.
Oh no. It was real nice because, when we had the last total eclipse that came over us, and I think we were in totality, it was 2017. They gave us a little packet with the glasses, and they gave us a moon pie. And those who do not live where moon pies are available, look it up. and a couple sticks, individually wrapped, of eclipse gum.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, yeah, and it's nice that they let you out too to go see it. Mm-hmm. You know, not every workplace would do that. That's for sure.
No, that is true.
So
that
I think that's pretty cool.
One thing that's very nice is that even though I'm no longer in customer service, I understand the pain of, hey, everyone, come out and do this. And customer service is like, we have a call center.
Yeah,
we can't just leave. The call center was shut down for around 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so everyone was able to get out, do what they wanted to do. Even people working from home, because it's like, you know, it's not fair for people working from home that they have to work while people in the office get to take off.
Yeah, yeah.
So especially 3 to 3:30 in the afternoon is not normally heavy rush time. So that was good.
Well, I haven't had a chance to really check social media too much, but I did see a few posts, both locally and from elsewhere. And our good friend Matt Hoffman shared a time-lapse video that he took from his front yard. And what was interesting about that was that when the totality hit, and I think he was right in line with the totality. If it wasn't complete totality, it was darn close.
Yeah,
because it was dark enough.
Was the really street high. Lights
come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool. I think the video might have been like 20 seconds, and when totality hit, it was pretty dark enough for the street lights to come on, and then it went light again, really in a real hurry, like rather quickly, I thought.
Yeah.
And I guess
I don't. I don't know if he was using the built-in app, the built-in camera for the time. Yeah, for the time lapse.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because if he was, you don't have a lot of control over, you know, the time and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have it up on our chat here, and I'm manually moving it, and literally in the video, it's 2 seconds from before down and then back up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So it's I'll have to ask him, you know, how long that took. Because I'm thinking it probably was the iPhone's camera, like the native panel or not panel, time lapse.
Yeah.
Just because if he went for 2 hours, it would knock it down to like 20 seconds. So I'm thinking it might have been, but I'll get a hold of him and ask him, or if he's watching, Matt, if you're watching, Dave, I don't have the chat open in the
In YouTube. Yep, I do. In case he pops in, I will definitely let you know if he answers.
I'm seeing three people watching, so one of them could be me. I don't know. Maybe one's you. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, the pictures are starting to flow through social media now. A lot of them with totality and some of them with not. And, you know, leading up to this, I was just like, nah, it's just another eclipse. But when I sent you a link from timeanddate.com, the website, that showed, you know, what it was going to be like for here in Owen Sound where I live.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was going to be, you know, it was a lot like yours, like just a sliver showing. Right. And I thought for sure it was going to be darker, but it wasn't. And I was rather disappointed. But when I was getting a little excited last night, when I saw this website and saw how much coverage, how much the moon was actually covering the sun. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I mean, this might be good, you know? So I packed up the dog and we went to this waterfall and then I was standing there right at 3:18 or so PM, I think 3:18 to 3:20 PM. It was at its pinnacle, or at its peak of coverage or whatever. And I'm standing there, and there's another couple standing there, and you know, I just looked at them and I said, "Wow, that didn't darken down very much." And the guy said, "No, not really." But you know, it was interesting. It's done, so we could stick a fork in that in the eclipse, and now just watch all the pictures and videos and stuff flow through.
I mean, if someone did, you know, try taking some pictures and want to post it to the Facebook group.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do that, please let us know your camera. Because I know it's always interesting to see what people take photos, what camera. And it's more of a matter, a lot of times you'll see, oh, this was taken with a 4-year-old camera. And you're like, wow, that's amazing. Because you, especially with iPhones, you don't need the latest and greatest all the time.
No.
Certain things are better with the later cameras because the hardware is better. But for the most part, you can get amazing photos with older cameras.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, please post it to the Facebook and let us know if you did any editing. And we're really interested to see, you know, see what everyone did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure there will be some in the group. You know, hopefully even some in with the total coverage, you know, it'd be kind of nice to see them too. So speaking of sticking a fork in it, my book is done. if you're in the group, in the Facebook group, you will have seen where I posted the link to the book. And right now it's just in the Apple bookstore, but it is coming to print pretty soon. And there's the cover. So if you're in the Apple bookstore, look for the cover, Folks, look on your screen. There, you'll see it. And for those who are watching live, all one of them, I think, you'll be able to see it. But, you know, 4 years. 4 years in the making. And for various reasons. It took me about 6 months to write it to begin with. And then I got with a publisher, signed a contract, a whole nine yards. And, you know, they, for whatever reason, you know, they seem to take a lot of time getting things done. And I get it. I mean, it was a brother sister team. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they even had anybody working for them. I think it was just the two of them. And there were two different locations in the country. And I'm not going to name them. I'm not going to do that. But, you know, so finally, you know, I would ask, okay, how's it going? And then they, you know, I would get, you know, get a response eventually. And I, it, you know, saying they were doing page layouts or whatever. And I got to tell you, I didn't realize how hard publishing was until I started doing this on my own. But anyway, so they, you know, then the pandemic hit and, you know, the one was in stuck in another state away from home. And then they were, you know, then that was over with. And then, you know, just different things were going on and it was just taking forever and forever and forever. So finally, I looked at the contract again and there was a time limit where they had to have things, you know, they had to have a book produced once they got all the files and that time was approaching and I hadn't heard anything. So I just finally asked them even before the time was over, I said, can I just do this myself? Can we just, you know, break the contract and do this myself? And a couple of days later, they responded, yeah, go ahead. You know, we're going to terminate the contract. So I don't know if they like, I mean, I do know that the pandemic caused a lot of grief for the printing industry because I work at a major Canadian printing company and I know mm-hmm. how the impact affected us. It affected and it snowballed, right? The paper availability was not there for some people or it was very hard to get paper. And I mean, some of this is just still bouncing back in the industry. So, I mean, I know how hard it is, but so that being said, I took it on my own. And then from the time that I had all the stuff ready initially to the time that I was able to take control of it myself, things changed. Mm. I had a different phone. Actually, I went through two different phones. Okay, so I missed the iPhone 13. Mm-hmm. That's when Macro became available in the iPhone. Built in and mm-hmm. all I had to go by was either you or anybody else that I knew that had one or followed on social media or whatever, right? You know, so I didn't have the experience to go by, but then as I started rewriting things, I had the 14 Pro Max, which had it. And then I was able to use that and, mm-hmm. you know, do some comparing and all this stuff. And then just time just built up. And then eventually, you know, even with the 15, with the 15 Pro Max, I'm not able to use any lenses because I don't have a case for any of them for whatever reason. And I'm supposed to have one coming, but I finally just finished it. You know, there may be things left out, but the nice thing about it is the way I'm publishing it is I can update it as we go. You know, as these things become available to me, I can update the Apple Bookstore version. Mm. And even with the print version, I can update stuff. And then whoever orders one from that point on will get the update type of thing.
Okay, so you're using print on demand then?
Yes. And I don't want to discourage anybody from buying the print version because I can't promise I will have updates in it. I may be happy with it the way it is. I don't know. But I just wanted to get it done. And finally, the... you know, sitting down and reading through it and finding, you know, grammar things and things that I left in that should have been taken out. Like what I did was I put inserted file names in square brackets where the pictures were going to go. So even after I put the picture in, I might have forgot to take the file name out. So, you know, good thing I read through the final draft and that's all done and dusted. And I do have to make one update to the iBooks version or the Apple Books version, because Norm Savigar, I think that's how you pronounce his name, corrected me on some spelling. And it was focus peaking. When I put focus peaking in the book, I put peaking as P-E-E-K-I-N-G.
Oh, but it's P-E-A.
And I didn't even look it up. I just assumed that it was peaking because you're kind of getting a peek at the focus. And
instead of it peaking like a top, like a peak of a mountain.
Yeah. So anyway, I've that's all been fixed, but I have to just put the put the update through the bookstore, and it's not that hard to do. I just have to get around to doing it. But what I'm doing now is preparing the files for the print version, and that's a lot of work. I've got the page layouts. They're all going to be the same as the ebook, but I have to prep the photos all differently. You know, they have to be done in CMYK. They can't just be RGB like an ebook can. And, you know, there's a bunch of different parameters that have to be met in order for the PDFs to be acceptable for print. And, you know, you'd almost think I'd know this because I work in a major printing factory, but I put the ink on the paper. I don't get the files ready back out in the front where they
you're,
do that.
You're
sort
on
of thing.
One part, not the other part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know a little bit about that other stuff, but I certainly had never done it and don't know that much, you know, so it's a learning curve. It's a big learning curve. And I'm not about to call up somebody from work and say, hey, could you do this? No, I'm not going to do that. It's self-published.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an adventure, and I can't give a timeline when the print version will be ready, but I will say if my file prep goes well, then it could be, you know, definitely sometime this month, because what I'll have to do is I'll submit them, get a sample printed and sent to me that I can go through and look at. And if it looks good, and, you know, I'm going to pick through it with a fine tooth comb, because I print, you know, I can pick out mistakes. And I'm going to, you know, and if it goes well, if it looks good, then the print version will be available, and there'll be a link on my website and all this stuff I built to put a page on my website for all this, and it'll be available. So
you'll be able to breathe. You'll be able to breathe.
It's been a very exhausting couple of weeks or so for me, because I did a presentation for a local camera club back in March. Just this past Friday, I did one to the Cleveland Photographic Society on Zoom. I was a little concerned how that was going to go, and it kind of, I only had one hiccup. But luckily my cousin Michelle, she's in the group, and I've talked about her before. I did a dry run with her online, and then so there was a video in the presentation. When the video played, she couldn't hear the sound. This is not going to go well. So I figured out how to make the sound work. And that happened in the one with Cleveland too. The video went, but the sound didn't go. But I said, let me know if you can't hear the sound. Nope, can't hear. Okay, I know exactly what to do. Fix it in about 2 seconds, and away it went. So that was the only hiccup, really. But it was fun. But it's been a real hectic couple of weeks, and it's not over yet, because I'm still going through these file preparing things, and I'll be glad when it's done. And then I want to write another book.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's like potato chips. You just can't do one, huh?
You know what? I think I can make a series out of this. This one's called iPhone Photography, Focusing on Macro. And I think I could do one called iPhone Photography, Focusing on Landscape. And then maybe focusing on, you know, long exposure or something like that. I think I could
portrait.
I might be able to make a series out of it.
Yeah.
Because in the book, so a bit of a spoiler, in the book, I talk about how the iPhone camera works. And then I kind of tell you how you can use that to your advantage in doing macro. That's the idea. That's the basically what the book's about. Mm-hmm. And it's not a terribly long read or anything. If you read it cover to cover, you can have it done in a couple hours easily, probably a lot less. Oh, yeah. But I'm hoping that it's educational for people and teaches people some things. Mm-hmm.
You don't want an overly long book that's not necessarily a straight how-to book, but you want people to be able to pick it up and use it. And there's the manual for doing macro and it's going to take you 8 hours to go through it and all this study, you're like, I'm never going to pick this up.
Yeah, that's right.
You want that someone could use it while to get familiarized with using macros.
Yeah. And that's why the ebook that's out now mm-hmm. would be helpful. You could read it right on your phone if you want.
Yeah.
As long as it's on my phone.
Because true. Now the little bit of history I have with publishing, and you want to call it quote unquote publishing, was me doing my master's thesis. We're talking back in 96. So that was really, and of course, so much has changed since then.
Oh, yeah.
Because the way we had to do it was, and we had to do this as part of our degree program to get, so once it's approved, you get final thing, it's reviewed, you go in front of the different professors and they ask you questions and they give you the thumbs up. You have to print out the files. So, inkjet printer at mm-hmm. home, probably. Okay. Print out the files, have 3 copies worth, take it down. And there was a binder that the university used. And you had to, okay, here's my thing. Yeah, I'm doing a master, I'm doing a thesis. Here's the title. Here's my name, blah, 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 blah. Here's my 3 physical copies. Give it to them. They bound it properly. Okay. So they did the binding. You came back like a week later, got the books, and then you said, okay, this is for the engineering library. I actually, they sent it in, but it's like, okay, here's the department library that they keep all the things, and this one's for me, and there's one, but you had to pay all that binding costs and everything else, else. But that's the closest I've ever dealt with do publishing my own work.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, where I work my full-time job, one of the things we do sell are books. So, but all that's the actual, our end of it is deal with the authors, have the authors write the books, and then send us the format and they digest it, however, with content management. And then they send it off we used to print them locally, but now they send it off who knows where to print them and then to get them back and sell them. So, it's a matter of we're kind of just a cog in the process.
Yeah.
But you're trying to do all this by yourself, including marketing and getting the information out and making people know this book exists. It's a big deal. It's a lot of work.
It is. And that's part of it, too, I have to market it myself. So people are probably going to get sick and tired of seeing me post about it. But I have to get it out there with the hope that, mm-hmm. as many people can see it as possible. And it's, that's all part of it. The nice thing, though, with the company that I'm getting the print version through is I think there's going to be a Kindle version. And
that will make a big difference, too.
I think it's going to be on Amazon.
Yeah. Okay, that helps. That helps tremendously, yeah.
Yeah, so most of the work is done, obviously. Still a little bit of work to do yet, but it's getting there. It's getting close. But it is done. It's out on the Apple Bookstore.
Right.
Looks best on an iPad or a Mac even, but more so than the phone. And it's a static version. It's not, it's not where you can stretch it out and the fonts get bigger and all that stuff. It's just, it is what it is. And it has to be that way because where I've got the images laid out within the text, you know, it's relevant to what the text right. is. If you were able to, if it was flowable, as they call it, then the pictures might move to other places where they're not, you know, the right. text won't be relevant. Well, so that's why I had to do it the way I did.
Right, right. But like you said, the nice thing about the Apple Book Store, you purchase once, so you can buy it on the iPhone. And when you, if you have an iPad or a Mac, it's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that makes it easier too.
So there will be a link in the description to the book. That's what Gavin Hardcastle always says when he promotes his books. He goes, there's a link in the description. Mm-hmm.
Also in chat, Gary Green said, great information on self-publishing, Greg.
Ah, yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's an adventure.
Yeah. I would say unless you go through something like that, you don't understand.
Yeah, and I didn't understand until now. That is so true. Okay, well, I guess it's time for our recent photos. Mm-hmm. And we will start with your first one. Let me just bring it up on the screen, then you'll see what I'm talking about here. And there it is.
There we go. Yes. So this was taken actually behind strip mall, for lack of a better term, where a grocery store is. And there's railroad tracks behind it. And there's the houses on the other side of the tracks, as you might say. Mm-hmm. And for security, there is a fence between the back of the grocery store and the railroad tracks, so people can't just, you know, walk on them for obvious reasons. You don't want people walking on railroad tracks. And at the top of the fence, there is barbed wire.
Yeah.
So, but it's not so high. So I was able to get up close, reach up with my hands, and get a photo of this. Now, one thing I do want to double check, because I tried multiple things here, so I want to make sure. Okay, so this one, and again, I was just trying to make sure which one I was using. This one was taken with the Mood camera that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So this was taken with their mono 400N filter. Mm-hmm. I tried it with the built-in app, and it just felt more, it didn't have that authentic feel to it. Yeah, it felt more film-like.
Yeah.
Where the built-in app is a little too crisp and a little too clear, a little too harsh.
Yeah.
So this is, and I just like the, because I did try this with color, you know, and different. I know it's not officially a film sim, but I kind of think the mono app, the Mood app is kind of like a film sim app.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
And I tried color. I tried different looks, and the black and white just looked best. And I did some editing in Photoshop. Lightroom Mobile, not Photoshop, mm-hmm. Lightroom Mobile, just to tweak it a little bit here and there. But I just liked the look of, you know, the fact that the houses across the way, they look like they're older houses, you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And with the railroad tracks, I thought it just got a nice mood to it, and the black and white kind of helped with that mood.
I think that camera app is named perfectly.
Yes.
Because when you, like, had you taken this with the Apple camera and just in mono, it wouldn't have this mood to it. Even, mm-hmm. like, you know, the Mood camera app, you know, it adds this grain and it just has a look and feel. This looks like a photo that was taken in the 1970s. You know, other than the fact that it's not, you know, it's lacking, you know, maybe some scratches or whatever on right. the image, but or whatever, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
But the grain and all that stuff, it looks so cool.
That is one thing I want to add. The grain was added in Lightroom Mobile.
Oh, was it?
It was added. Yeah. Now, I could have selected different preset in the Mood app to make it grainier.
Yeah.
But it went more with this, and I just did some adjustments in Lightroom to add the grain. So,
okay,
you know,
well, you know,
but I think both ways it turned out, it would have turned out good doing the other way too.
Yeah. You know, but I like it. It almost looks like you could have been standing in a prison yard, and that's the, you know, that's the barbed wire
keeping you out. Yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
And you know, again, I really like the mood and you know, just the lower wire is just below the tracks in the frame, which I think is good too. It just flows nicely across the screen.
Yeah, the barbed wire almost acts like a framing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you could actually crop a little off the bottom and the top and still have, you know, have the aesthetic you're looking for, but even at the crop that it's at now, it looks good.
Yeah. So, and I would say that this is also one area where it's just kind of talking about when you're taking photos, this is where moving left to right can make a difference.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because if I would have moved 10 feet to the left or 10 feet to the right, different shot because of the way the houses are on the other side.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the fence is a little uneven, so I probably wouldn't have had the framing with the barbed wire. If I'm on a little left or right, I wouldn't be able to reach up enough to get it framed. So,
yeah.
Again, you can go out there, see a shot, and you're like, I like this shot, but what if I move? Not because we always talk about you using your feet to zoom, but sometimes moving left and right, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Parallel because to your subject, getting a different angle.
Another thing that I like about this is that the tall tree on the left side of the frame, those branches going up to the left meet the top of those clouds.
Mm.
And, you know, had you been 10 feet to the one side or the other, those branches would have been in a different spot in relation to the clouds, and it might not have looked as good. I think it looks really cool because you could see right at the top where the one branch almost separates this cloud from the sky. But there's just a little sliver of cloud on the other side of the branch, like on the right side of the branch. So I think that's kind of cool, just the way that turned out. And your second one is another tree.
And this is one that Ruth took.
Oh,
so right, okay. We were in a car driving home, and it was just about, you know, we're getting lighter and lighter. It's staying lighter later and later. So this is around 6:30 or so at night. And I was like, hun is like, okay, there's no one behind us. I'll stop on the road, get your phone out, and just get a picture of that tree. Because I love the way the tree, the angle of the tree and the trees down below. Because it's still stick season, the leaves are just starting to come off. So you can entire, all the little, you know, how the tree bugs, looks like a lung almost.
Yeah.
With all the arteries, if you will, coming out. And just a silhouette there. I did do some editing. So I took away some of the cars in the bottom of the image that were there.
Okay.
Because there's a road that goes in front. And I did some changing with the color to bring a little bit of the green out that's down below, but not too much, because there were some, you know, like you go into edit, you can really make it look like there's no silhouette there if you really wanted to. You know, Lightroom's pretty powerful, but I just want to, and the way the clouds are there and the sun's just off to your left there. But so you got a little bit of sun, but not too much. And the tree still kind of, you know, there's green around it, but this tree still kind of bare.
Yeah.
As it's showing there.
Yeah. And that's about what we got to have here is like the buds are just starting to come out on the trees. I mean, you give it, I don't know what, 2-3 weeks, and we're going to have leaves finally.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they may be small still at that time, but, you know, we'll still have leaves. But yeah, no, that's pretty good for a drive by.
Oh yeah. Yeah. through the front windshield. So that's the other thing. Okay. Yeah. That's through the front windshield. So that's the other thing I did in Lightroom Mobile was use the clarity and dehaze to get rid of the, you know, all windshields have a little bit of haze, especially driving, especially front ones where you get, you know, road stuff and a little reflection. So I was able to use the dehaze and the clarity to get rid of the reflection and the haze of the windshield.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, those are so powerful tools.
Yeah. Well, another good shot by Ruth.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. And then this one here, you sent this one a while ago, a couple of days ago or so, and I thought this was really cool.
Yeah, this was actually taken in a parking lot. I just noticed the birds overhead and just how they were just kind of using the heat, of the parking lot to coast in the sky. Mm. And so this is one I actually use a live photo on just because it's hard to get that bird right where you want it to be.
Yeah.
I did have to use the live image on this one to change the frame because the bird was a little too far off and I wanted the bird in front of the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I did, again, using Lightroom Mobile to change the light and the contrast, because when you look at the original photo, all you saw was a silhouette of the bird. You didn't see the white feathers.
Oh, okay.
So I was able to edit it and just get that where you can see where the feathers are going out. You can see the lightness of those feathers versus the body itself of the bird.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just a few of them in the it wasn't very, very high up in the sky, just kind of circling the parking lot, just kind of going around. Yeah. So no, admittedly, it looked kind of weird me standing in the middle of a parking lot, making sure I'm not run over looking up with my phone, but it's what you have to do sometimes.
Any idea what kind of bird it is? Like, looks to be like a hawk of some sort.
I imagine it's a hawk. I tried using Google Lens.
Yeah.
Like a Google Lens, and they said a condor, which I know is not a condor.
Yeah, no, it's not a condor.
It's not a condor, but we have tons of hawks around here.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it looks like a red-tailed hawk or a peregrine falcon or something like that. I mean, I think the feathers, the way they spread on the wingtips, would probably give a pretty good idea. But I'm not a real big bird.
I'm not either. Yeah, same here. But yeah, I imagine hawk. We do have bald eagles close by.
Yeah, we have them here too.
Yep. And there are peregrine falcons, but I think they're more in downtown.
Oh,
because
really?
they use the skyscrapers like cliffs.
Oh, okay.
So like a lot of the older skyscrapers in Pittsburgh, because they're like Art Deco.
Mm-hmm.
So they're granite and they have kind of the step up. They actually nest on there. And you think of it as their cliff, if you will.
Ah.
So, I imagine since it is around here, imagine, like I said, there were two or three of them in the sky. So I'm thinking falcon.
Well, the tallest building we have in town where I live is 8 stories. So, you know, we got pigeons.
We got enough of those too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm going to guess a red-tailed hawk, but who knows? If anybody's watching or listening and you know what kind of bird this is, let us know. Okay, so this is my first one. This was from probably a couple of weeks ago, I would say. I was working on the book, and I thought, you know what? I have got to just get out and take a picture of the sunset, long exposure, because Scott Baker has been killing it with those lately. And he really, normally he's on here watching, but I don't think he's on here tonight. He just inspired me to get out and try to get a decent sunset. Now, there wasn't nearly as much color as I had hoped for. This is just down at the waterfront, looking across the bay at the other side. I think I used re-expose probably for maybe 10 seconds or something like that. Mm. Just a Lightroom edit just to, you know, bring some of the detail out of the shadow areas and whatnot. And I saturated the color a little bit and really brought up some of the oranges because it was really a real blah sunset. Like it wasn't that exciting at all. So I tried to make the best of it. And of course, across the water is the marina where all the boats that are still wrapped up for the winter. I'm sure they'll be getting them out soon. But and even on the foreground, there's some snow on the rocks yet. So it was still pretty cold a couple of weeks ago. And it's just today was nice. Today, I bet you hit about 20 degrees Celsius, and that would be probably 68 or so Fahrenheit.
Oh, that is like nice. That. Yeah.
So it was a pretty nice day today. Scott's images that he's been putting on Instagram and all that stuff lately just got me to the point where, okay, I got to get out and get a picture. So that's when I went out and got this.
That is so nice. Yeah. Especially like you said about the, using reheld just to get the sheen on the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, just getting that sheen on the water there.
Yeah. And then, I mean, the water was fairly smooth. Mm-hmm. Like there wasn't a lot of ripples, but yeah, it definitely, you know,
well, especially in the foreground around the rocks.
Yeah.
It just kind of made it, you know.
Yeah. It smoothened it out pretty much like glass. Like I would say the dark parts of the water is where the ripples were mostly, and where the actual light is reflecting is where it was the smoothest, I think. And this one was from today. Scott Baker has been putting a lot of pictures of running water on lately too. So not to be outdone by him, I've made an attempt to, this was the base of the waterfall that I went to. And I used Re-Expose and I used a circular polarizer and my 16 stop ND filter so that I can take a, this could have been just reflex, and I shot raw and it might've been like a half a second. It may not have been Re-Exposed. I'd have to look at the files. Let me see if I could find that. But I just love doing shots like this with not too much veiling, but just enough that it. Let's see, this is the one here, and yeah, this was reflex. This was not Re-Expose, so this was just reflex. Okay, and it was a it could have been a. Oh no, it's raw. Okay, it's raw. Yeah, it was a raw file, and I didn't even do pro raw. It was just straight raw, and so I took some doing in Lightroom to get the highlights so they weren't blown out and to get the detail back out of the shadows. But what bothers me the most is these twigs in the lower right in the foreground. You know,
and
they were completely out of reach. I couldn't reach them to move them out of the way or anything, so I was pretty well stuck with them. But this was with the 5X. And I had it on a tripod, of course, and this one I was waiting for it to get to the darkest point of the eclipse. So okay. I was just taking a few shots to fill in some time.
That is one thing that happened with the eclipse, which was wonderful. Just that this, I think we talked about this on the pre-show, the diffuse light.
Yeah.
That happened. You know, the fact that it was overcast, it was like a bright overcast day, if it sounds weird. Mm-hmm. Where like in an overcast day, you'll get that nice diffuse light so you don't have the harsh shadows or harsh whites. But it was brighter than an overcast day. So you didn't have to worry about it being too dark.
Yeah. But definitely with the two filters I had on, you know, it was pretty dark. So I turned ISO down as far as I could go and went with a half second shutter speed. Let me see. What does it say here? Yeah, half second shutter speed, ISO 40. So,
wow, that is low.
Yeah, and that presentation that I did both at the local club and online on Friday night, it was all about a photographic approach to iPhone photography, and this is the essence of what that presentation was about. You know, using the iPhone camera like you would use a traditional camera. Mm-hmm. Filters, shoot raw, that whole nine yards. And I wish I'd had this to show in that presentation, but I just didn't.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, it was fun, you know, getting a few shots, waiting for the, total mm-hmm. or waiting for the darkest part to come, which is and this is what it looked like for us. This is a raw file, unedited. I opened it in Lightroom Mobile and just saved it out as a JPEG so I can put it on here. And so, I mean, it was, you know, it was completely overcast. You could look up. You couldn't even tell where the sun was even before the moon started to move over it. It was that overcast. But it was, you know, it was daylight. It was still light. I mean, you could, it was noticeably dimmer than before it had started, but
right.
But this was at about 3:20 p.m.
Okay.
Eastern time for us, for us right here in this location. This is the I would say the pinnacle of the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a bit of a disappointment for me. I was hoping it would be darker.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, when we hit our pinnacle, and there was just a slight sliver of a sun left. Mm-hmm. And at least for us, you felt the temperature difference more than you saw the light difference.
Yeah. 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 And I took this 48 megapixel too, just to get the best out of it.
Sure.
For this probably once in a lifetime shot for me. But yeah, that was it. Oh, and I guess that's the end of it. That's our mm-hmm. recent photos. So yeah, it was an interesting day, you know, and I'll probably, it's just after 10 o'clock here now. I'm just going to relax for the rest of the night and probably look yep. through some of the images that people are putting out there from today and
mm-hmm.
See what kind of creative stuff there is. I know there's a photographer in Toronto. Now Toronto is not, it wasn't in the, mm-hmm. you know, the line of totality. That was in like Niagara Falls, Buffalo area. Those guys were getting the total part of it. Now the photographer, I can't think of his name. Anyway, he's really good at pre-planning his shots so that he can go mm-hmm. somewhere and get like the moon, the full moon, just on the very tip of the CN Tower.
Oh,
you know, that type of thing. That's the kind of stuff he does, eh? So I'm hoping that he got out there and did something very creative with this. And if he has, I'm sure he'll have it on there by now. I just have to find who he was and look it up. But, interesting day. And I hope nobody gets blinded from that, you know, looking into it, without the proper eyewear or anything, but because it could very easily damage it without even,
realize it. Common sense and, I know it's past, so if you didn't use common sense, we're sorry. But
yeah, and you're not even Canadian.
No, sorry. But it's one of those things, and I think we talked about. I think this is even going back to the tiny shutter days when we were dealing with like winter photography.
Mm,
and it's like use common sense.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and I know why we have the labels the way we do because of cover your behind mm-hmm. legally.
Yeah.
But just use the common sense that you should have.
yeah, that's right. Well, David, I am beat, so I think we're going to call it.
I can imagine. Sounds good. It sounds good.
Yeah, so tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure, you can find me pretty much everywhere on social media as Prof Pod, except for TikTok, where I'm Prof Pod PGH.
Alrighty, and you can find me at about.me/McMillan, or you can go to the Facebook group for the podcast. It's the iPhonography Podcast. Look that up in the groups, and you'll find us there. And of course, there's links in the show notes for all the places you'll find Dave and I, and mm-hmm. and all the folks that we hang out with, and start looking for these eclipse pictures, because I bet you they're flowing in. And on that note, I guess we'll see you all in the next one.
Have a great one, everyone.